Moncrief on News Talk.
You'll remember the IRB from your history classes, but there is an organisation that claims that name today. Conor Gallagher from the Irish Times is the reporter who broke this story. Good afternoon, Conor.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Now, I suppose there's a bit of history to this, or at least their version of this history. According to them, now, who was Tom Maguire and what connection does he have to this modern day IRB?
So in the telling of this modern day group, the IRB never went away. It actually continued in a semi-dormant state and didn't, as most historians say, wind up in or dissolve itself in 1924. So they claim it continued under the stewardship of this man, Tom Maguire, who kind of credible historians don't really know who he is or who he's supposed to be, and think he was probably a very minor figure if he existed at all. Maguire kept the organisation going, claiming to be its president and by extension president of the Irish Republic, before handing the reins to his grand nephew, a man called Billy Maguire, in the early 1950s, when Billy Maguire was 7 years old. So Billy became the president and the president of Ireland, and maintains that role to this day while he's in his early 80s.
Yeah, and there is an annual kind of ceremony that Billy Maguire has been observing every year.
Yeah, so this is probably, if anyone has heard of this group, it's probably because of this. It's a ceremony called the Turning of the Sovereign Seal, where Maguire holds up a golden wooden harp and rotates it around seven times while reciting some kind of oath or pledge. And this is done traditionally in the Mansion House where the Lord Mayors live. This has been tolerated by city officials for many years. You know, most years Maguire was allowed to actually conduct the ceremony inside, although that policy seems to have changed and more recently, and they've been forced to perform the ceremony in the teachers' club in the North City.
Right. Okay. And do you know anything about this ceremony? What it involves, other than turning a harp around a few times? What's it supposed to signify?
By IRB lore, this ceremony is first performed by Tom Maguire back in, I believe, 1917 or 1919, in Vaughan's Hotel, and it's to symbolise the renewing the sovereignty of the country and the country's government for another year. And this must be performed. They take it very, very seriously. It must be reformed every year if the Ireland is to retain its sovereignty. And every year, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste and Chief Justice are invited, although, to my knowledge, they have yet to take up the invite.
Yeah. So then, so far, also kind of harmless, I suppose. Then during the pandemic, he met a chap called John Flanagan, and that seems to have changed the organisation.
Indeed. So, as I said, the organisation was, aside from this ceremony, in a pretty dormant state until John Flanagan came on board. He says he met Billy Maguire in late 2021. Flanagan is a fairly prominent a businessman from County Clare. He ran a chain of hotels in the West. Before getting into financial difficulties relating to the crash, he's found himself before the courts on many occasions, being sued and suing other institutions. And someone who has very much leaned into this sovereign citizenship legal theories. And for people that don't know, the sovereign citizen movement is it's a movement that espouses using obscure, bizarre legal theories, such as, you know, the state's authority is limited or deficient, that laws don't apply to the ordinary people, that unless you've made a contract with someone, with the state, the laws don't apply to you. All sorts of, I think it's fair to call them, fairly mad legal theories that do not stand up in court. But nevertheless, people keep using them. So Flanagan's from this world. He became involved in the IRB. He was appointed its chairman of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Supreme Council of the IRB. And he was also appointed minister for, or secretary for, finance and defence, and also commander-in-chief of Ogli na Héireann. Now, what does that mean in real terms? Nothing. But this is goes to the idea that the IRB see themselves as the true government of the state. So shortly after he was appointed to these roles, he sent very legally kind of official looking documents to the actual government saying they are now the sovereign government of the state.
And did our government, our elected government, respond to this?
No, they didn't. So that document was one of many, many documents which has been sent by this new IRB to various government departments, ministers, judges, president, Commissioner Drew Harris, Defence Forces, doing things like repealing laws, you know, repealing papal bulls, repealing the Act of Union and the laws which are hundreds and hundreds of years old and have little modern day meaning. It's what they call a paper war. You know, they don't endorse violence or espouse violence, despite claiming to run the Ogli na Héireann. What they believe their struggle is a paper war. So basically a kind of a deluge of documents received by civil servants claiming all sorts of mad things. The vast majority of these documents are simply ignored. But that has led the IRB then claim, oh, well, they haven't disputed this. So that means, you know, it must be valid. It must be, you know, we must have successfully repealed that law.
If they just don't get an answer, they take that to be a yes then.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the general strategy.
Yeah. No, but they, at the same time, it seems like they're kind of trying to set up an infrastructure of their own. Did they actually register Ogli na Héireann as a name with the company's office?
Yeah, so this is why I kind of started looking into them and writing about them, because they have become more active, and it's going beyond simply, I suppose, cosplaying as a government. They have registered the name Ogli na Héireann, the official Irish language name for the Defence Forces, with the company's registration office, and registered themselves as the owners of this name. I asked the Department of Defence about this, and they just pointed to a law passed last year which says only the Defence Forces can claim the name or use the name Ogli na Héireann. They've also been doing other things. They've been setting up, yes, as you said, parallel institutions to the state. So a network of local government bodies, which they call community council co-ops. They've been set up in 7 counties, I believe, 30 individual bodies in various towns in these counties, particularly strong representation in Donegal and Galway. Flanagan told me there's between 2,000 and 3,000 people involved in these, but I haven't been able to verify that figure. They've also done things like set up their own property registration company, where you know, the real property registration body, as they would tell it, where you can pay money to register your actual ownership of the property. Again, obviously meaningless. They issue their own travel cards, their version of driver's license. They've appointed their own postmaster general, even, and they've even appointed each other generals of the Ogli na Héireann.
But do they pretend to have direct authority over any of these bodies, or do they see it as advisory, or what is it?
So regarding the local community council co-ops, these take the form of a kind of a county council, although they are completely unelected. In several counties, these bodies have sent letters to the CEO of the actual county council saying any decisions made by the real county councils must be referred to them immediately. Obviously, these requests were ignored. In other cases regarding Ogli na Héireann, I asked John Flanagan about, you know, do they claim to actually control the Irish Defence Forces? He said the Ogli na Héireann they're referring to is the one set up in 1913, presumably a reference to the original Irish volunteers, which split at the start of World War One. But they do use the flags, the official flags of the Army, Naval Service and Air Corps at their ceremonies. So it does get a bit confusing the more you look into it, and doesn't make a huge amount of sense.
Yeah, and it, the driving license that they issue, I mean, at least Mr. Flanagan's put his money where his mouth was and has been carrying one, even showed one to the guards.
That's right, yeah, 2023. He was pulled over doing 155 kilometres an hour on the motorway in his brand new or relatively new BMW X5. Guard asked for a driver's license. He produced an IRB driver's license. The guard checked the car and found that it had never been taxed. Car was seized, obviously, and Flanagan took a high court case during which he kind of used these free men of the land arguments, which got absolutely nowhere with the judge, who found against Flanagan in the entirety and awarded costs against them.
Yeah. Now, the driving license and the property registration, these are all charging money. So is there kind of, are there signs that they're actually making money out of this? There's a revenue stream.
Money is coming in. Now, whether it's making much money, I just couldn't say. So, for example, they've faced criticism before from other fringe groups for charging for deeds of acknowledgement, which are basically citizenship deeds, but citizenship of their version of the Irish Republic. They cost 22 quid. Flanagan says that's just to cover the costs of travelling around and printing them out, etc. If you want to join their property registration website, that's €25 a year, but it's €500 though if you want to register a property. But good news is that your travel card is thrown in for free there. Flanagan says that €500 cost has now been replaced since earlier this month with a voluntary donation. Flanagan's company, he has a consultancy company in County Clare, has been contracted to carry out work on behalf of the IRB, but Flanagan told me he doesn't make any income from this. So it's not really clear the exact nature of the finances of the IRB.
Yeah. Now, as you said earlier, they fired off letters to all sorts of people. Where and in what one, for instance, they claim they own the GPO.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, there's letters, to use the freemen of the land language, they're salvaging these properties. So it is laid claim to the GPO. That's where that become the official address of the Irish government, they say. It'll also become the embassy of the Hawaiian government. So the Hawaiian version of this sovereign citizen movement. Obviously, Hawaii is a state in the United States, but the IRB has been in touch with the Hawaiian kind of sovereign citizen movement and has made their own kind of international treaty. So part of that is they will have space in the GPO if and when IRB takes actual power from the government.
Yeah. And they have a court system. What do they put on trial in this court system?
Yeah, so that's part of it. They say that they want to set up a court by 2030. They'll have a court in every country. This will kind of mirror the existing court system, where you'll have a district court, a circuit court, and then at the top a central or a supreme court. Indeed, they've already appointed a couple of chief justices. Actually, the first chief justice your listeners might be familiar with from COVID, UCD former UCD professor Dolores Cahill. Was a very well respected UCD professor, but attracted controversy over kind of out there statements about face masks and the like. She was chairman of the Irish Freedom Party for a while. She was appointed Chief Justice, but was then ousted as after some sort of internal disagreement, and was replaced by a builder from Mayo who continues to hold the post. I asked them, have they held any trials in these courts so far? They said in 2022 they held a trial or a court case before a jury where, among other things, the Act of Union was repealed. I asked, who's going to enforce the decisions of, you know, one of the defining things of a court is you have someone there to enforce its decisions and some mechanism. And they said they would refer it on to the, what they call the corporate police force. So on Garda Síochána, to enforce their decisions. I'm not sure how the guards will feel about that. But anyway.
And so far in, is it in seven counties, they've established these co-ops. Now, what do the co-ops do?
They sit, they meet on a regular basis and discuss issues regarding the community. A lot of the talk seems to be about immigration and opposition to immigration. They will discuss kind of sovereign citizen stuff like repealing laws. And one of the big focuses, though, at the minute seems to be on recruiting others. So sending people out to recruit other people to join these local co-ops. They claim to have some success, although I haven't been able to verify that. You know, that, as I said, Flanagan claims up to 3,000 people are going to these things. One person said they went out and kind of canvassed two estates in Finglas and recruited just under 300 people into it. Again, haven't verified it. But, yeah, this seems to be focused on recruitment at the minute.
Yeah, and but they did... In as far as, I suppose, from mainstream politics, somebody from Independent Ireland did go to one of their meetings, or a former member of.
Current member of Independent Ireland, Councillor Noel Thomas. He used to be a member of Fianna Fáil. He resigned from Fianna Fáil last year after Fianna Fáil threatened to discipline him over comments he made about immigration. He said something to the effect of the inn is full. Thomas left, joined Independent Ireland, topped the poll down there, I believe, in the local elections. He's been at two of these co-op meetings. And according to the minutes of one meeting, he praised the co-op and made a kind of a speech down there. I spoke to Thomas. He says he emphatically does not endorse the IRB's, you know, claims to sovereignty or anything like that, or, you know, and that his endorsement was the role of kind of the local engagement that these co-ops were doing, and that he had no knowledge of kind of the wider, what some people might call matter aspects of the IRB.
At the same time, if there's people who bought these bogus driving license, for instance, and are wandering around thinking that's all they need, has anyone expressed any concern about that kind of thing?
Yeah, they have. And it's not so much, you know, that there's a fear that people are being scammed. The drivers, like the travel cards, they're not charging for them in and of themselves. But there's fear that people are going around just with completely wrong ideas of what the law is and isn't. So, you know, there's a local independent councillor down in Galway who raised concerns at a recent meeting that there's young fellas going around being stopped by the guards claiming they don't have to show their tax for insurance, you know, and therefore getting in more trouble. Just more broadly, and the kind of sovereign citizenship movement, not just related to the IRB, you know, a lot of people have been misled into believing things like, you know, they don't have to repay their debts to the banks. And this makes life harder for them. They're going into court with kind of these pseudo legal kind of nonsense ideas in their head, which means that their case goes absolutely nowhere. They're landed with, you know, really hefty legal bills, might in extreme circumstances find themselves in a cell for contempt. And if their case had any merit in the first place, it certainly loses that merit when they start espousing these kind of theories. So there has been concerns raised about the broader sovereign citizen movement going all the way back to the crash, 14 years ago or so. And Galway County Council have held a meeting about these IRB local groups to express concern that they might be undermining the legitimacy of the actual county councils. And the Association of Local Government, which represents all county councils, has said to me they're very concerned about the actions of these kind of groups and that they might undermine trust and the integrity of the legitimate bodies.
My word. Connor, thanks a million for telling us all about that. That was Connor Gallagher there, crime and security correspondent of the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.